Welcome.
We're grateful that you have decided to join with us and others across this nation on this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Although we're scattered across the geography of this land, we are also united in Christ as we lift our hearts together in prayer. Over the course of this narrated audio journey, you'll be led through four movements: grounding, remembering, reflecting, and lamenting. There will be time to pause, to reflect, and to add your own prayers to the prompts provided. On behalf of the Canadian Baptist partners across this country, we are grateful that you are here. Let's begin.
The first movement of our time together is one of grounding. I want to invite you to pause, to take a deep breath in, and let it out. Become aware of your surroundings. Look around. What do you see? Give thanks for the signs of life and God's good creation around you. What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you feel? Some of you may wish to take your shoes off to feel the ground you are on. Moses was asked to take his shoes off when he encountered God in the burning bush. He was reminded that the ground he stood on was holy. Bare feet are also vulnerable. Just as Moses was being invited to change his posture and walk a new path, we hope that we encounter Jesus in a new way, and that we too will walk a new path because of it. Take a moment to ready yourself for this path. Feel free to pause the recording at any point if you want to take more time. As you begin to walk, reflect on the first peoples who inhabited the lands where you are. What do you know about them? Are there others who were forced to move off of the land? Do you know what agreements were made about how the land would be shared with newcomers who arrived? What do you know about the relationships that developed from point of contact to the present on these lands? What are you grateful for? What is one way you can commit to living well with our Indigenous neighbors? Lord, as we walk, we praise you for this day and your purpose for it. Reset our agendas, recalibrate our interactions, and refocus our hearts. Your will for our lives does not always reflect our plans. Change them to reflect your will. As we walk, may we see with your eyes and hear with your ears. May our spirit be in tune with the Holy Spirit to recognize you in the ordinary and in the extraordinary. As we enter into our second movement, Remembering, we turn our hearts, minds, and attention to residential school survivors. As you walk, listen for the voices of children. Reflect on their journeys to the residential schools. In a moment, we will listen to the story of efforts in Yukon Territory to search for unmarked graves and a bit of the story of Adeline Weber, who attended the White Horse Baptist Mission School. Dear Jesus, would you move our hearts with the things that move your heart?
Many Indigenous children never made it home from school. That's part of the terrible legacy of Canada's Indian residential schools. This spring, ground-penetrating radar will be used to look for unmarked graves at the former site of Chutla School, also known as the Carcross Indian Residential School in southern Yukon. It ran at various points between 1903 and 1969. It's not known how many children died at the schools here. That's part of what the Chutla Working Group is hoping to find out. It's organizing the search for graves in the Yukon. Adeline Weber is chair of the working group. Here's Adeline.
My name is Adeline Weber. I'm a member of the Teslin Tlingit First Nation. I'm from the Kokoton clan. We're the Raven Children, and my Tlingit name is Gaide. You know, the whole residential school issue was, not to educate them, the First Nation people. I think it was to eventually eliminate us, as a race of people.
It's important to to look and see if there are graves at these sites as well.
That's right. And we do know that from the records that their children did die, but we don't have complete information yet on where they're buried, because there's no grave markers that we know of, including one for my brother. Yeah.
I'd like to talk about your brother in a moment. Mm-hmm. First, let's talk a little bit about yourself and where you grew up.
Well, I was born and raised here in Whitehorse. I attended along with my sisters, my three sisters, we attended the Whitehorse Baptist Mission School, which is just in downtown Whitehorse. So a lot of people don't know about that school, but it ran from 1947 to 1960 when we were able to, from there, go to public school. A lot of nice people that worked at those schools, but when the head is very, very strict and wants things his way, then that's the way things are. One thing I find, like when you look at photographs, because, well, when you look at photographs, they were only taken when there was some kind of celebration or things like that going on. And I know that from experience when I was working on the project for Finding Our Faces, like the book that we produced.
Finding Our Faces was the photo book that you developed about for students who went to the Whitehorse Baptist Mission School.
Somebody said to me, well, you know, looks like you guys were quite happy, you were having fun. Well, that was it. It was the fun times that they took the photos and things, and we didn't have photographs of ourselves, so that was one of the reasons we went ahead with that project. But yeah, it's really important to have some sort of record of that you were there.
And your brother Albert, what do you know about him?
Yeah, I just know that he was the oldest sibling, and also another sibling, Joe. They both went away to residential school as well. Albert went to the Chutla Residential School. Joe went to the Gruard Residential School in Alberta. Our brother Albert went to school and died there when he was about five or six years old. In fact, just recently, in looking at some of the records that are starting to be made available to us, I was just browsing through, and I saw my brother's name. So, of course, I looked across the grid, and all it said was that he attended, he enrolled in 1942, didn't say where he was from or anything, and that at the end of September, he died. We always were told by other students, older students that attended that school, that he died of measles, but the report only says he died of diphtheria. So that's all I know about him.
And just within a month of being at the school.
Yeah, I didn't know that before a couple of months ago. So I let my siblings know that as well. So it brings some closure to know, you know, at least the date. But it's really sad when you think, you know, that he was only probably five. And I do know that he died alone. And when they were sick, he was just put into the laundry room. It was cold and damp in there, I'm sure, as any laundry would be in September. So others said that they had taken him water and tried to help him a bit, but he died.
Where was he buried, do you know?
He's buried in Teslin somewhere, but I don't know where.
Adeline contacted me later. She meant to say her brother Albert is buried in Carcross somewhere.
So this is one of the reasons that I'm really keen on doing this work. So that, like, that's just our story of our brother Albert. But, you know, many, many others would like to have some closure as well. So
Do you remember hearing through friends and family about other children who didn't come home in the Yukon?
Oh, yes. There was always talk of that. And we do know of other families that that went through the same thing. My mother never, ever forgot about him, you know. And then, you know, with our brother Joe being in Gruyard in Alberta, he went there about 5 years old as well, and he was only like 2 years younger than my brother Albert. He never came home till he was 16. Like, he never came home over the summers or anything. And when Mom was talking about Joe and Albert, it was always kind of, I kind of always thought it was one and the same. I didn't know, because I didn't know my brothers then. But I did get to know my brother Joe later, yeah.
And you never did get to meet Albert, though?
No, he died before I was born.
In the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the records they've found, there's, I guess, the way that deaths were listed at residential schools, it's categorized into named and unnamed, as in, like, some of the school administrators didn't name the children who died at the schools.
That's true. In fact, some of what I've seen, there might be a name, didn't say what community they were from, it just said died.
What does that say to you if school administrators weren't naming the children who died?
It's, you know, the poor record keeping. I'm hoping that they have another record somewhere. You know, because we haven't looked at yet the church records. Like, we have some of the church records, I should say, but I would like to see, you know, the church records of marriages, deaths, births, baptisms, that sort of thing. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing, because I'm hoping that they would say in there that, you know, they were buried on the school grounds or they were buried in the local graveyard in Carcross, but there's no indication so far. And so I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing that information. So there's a lot of information that we're going to be going through, and so you know, I've seen some of it, and you know, there's records of meetings and costs that were approved by the Inuit. What they want to do is complete the work for the next year and 2 years at Chutla, and then move on to other areas where there have been residential schools. Like, the next place we plan to be is here in Whitehorse, because there was the Baptist Mission School, as I mentioned. Yeah, so we've got a lot of work to do over the next couple of years, so we're really just beginning.
Eventually, this is down the road, but could there be excavations at these sites as well to confirm, like, the identities of the children?
Yes, whatever the community decides, you know. And that's something, like I mentioned earlier, we're doing is we're working with each community, working with the elders, talking about, you know, what are the protocols. You know, some people are talking about, okay, they want excavations. Others are saying, no, just leave them where they are. So we have to develop those cultural protocols. And we need to be working with the elders in each area and the community, for sure. So, yeah, it's very sensitive work that has to be done. But I think for people to find some peace, they need to find out what happened to their ancestors and you know, confirm for themselves and their families.
Our third movement is one of reflection. As you hold Adeline's story and those of her family members and neighbors, what is the spirit stirring in you? Last year, Dr. Danny Zacharias invited us to face the pain that we encounter in the realities of the residential school legacy in the company of the spirit. He used Romans 8 to talk about groaning with the spirit. In reflecting, sometimes we struggle to know what to do with the thoughts and emotions that are stirred or not stirred when we encounter stories like Adeline's. Listen to these words from Romans as a way to invite the Spirit to groan with you, in you, and through you.
For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as heirs, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen, it's no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And the one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
Listen a second time to the text. What word or phrase stands out to you? In silence, ask God if there is an invitation for you in this text as you bring it into dialogue with the story of residential schools.
A reading from Romans 8, verses 19 to 27. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as heirs, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And the one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Thanks be to God.
And lastly, we enter into our final movement of lament. The Reverend Soon Chang Ra, in his book, Prophetic Lament, A Call for Justice in Troubled Times, says this about lament. True reconciliation, justice, and shalom require a remembering of suffering, an unearthing of a shameful history, and a willingness to enter into lament. Lament calls for an authentic encounter with the truth and challenges privilege because privilege would hide the truth that creates discomfort. Hear that again. True reconciliation, justice, and shalom require a remembering of suffering, an unearthing of a shameful history, and a willingness to enter into lament. Lament calls for an authentic encounter with the truth and challenges privilege because privilege would hide the truth that creates discomfort. As Baptists, our lament muscles may not be well exercised, but we are learning to build this muscle. As you complete your walk, we want to invite you to pray your own laments. I will offer you three prompts if those are helpful for you. Begin with describing the pain or anguish that you have felt on this walk. If those are not emotions that have come up for you, let me invite you to enter imaginatively into the pain or anguish of a story you know or can imagine from the experience of a child taken from their family to a residential school far from home, or the experience of a parent or community members when all the children were suddenly gone from your home or from your community. Take some time to call to mind those emotions. Call to mind God's character. Bring your groaning and your questions into the presence of God, in the fullness of who God is. A prayer of reconciliation. God of grace and God of transforming power, you have reconciled us to yourself in Christ. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation. You have entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. O God, We know that the pursuit of righteousness is the pursuit of justice. We pray for justice in our relationships with others. We pray for reconciliation with all those who share this land. We pray at this time for healing, for justice, and for reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples in Canada. Lord, we pray for reconciliation between Indigenous peoples and those who live with them together in this place that the Cree and Anishinaabe call Turtle Island. In this place, we now also call Canada. We know that it is you who calls us and are leading us to reconciliation. We lift all these prayers, spoken and unspoken. We lift all the words we have heard and thought during this walk. We lift the longing of our hearts for healing and for reconciliation up to you. O God, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer and friend. Amen.